And mark your place there, Matthew chapter 21. This message had a lot of rabbit trails. I had to go cut a lot out there. They're really exciting, a lot of them. You might find one yourself and want to chase after it in the message, but I do have a lot to cover this morning, so we'll get right to it. You know, many times in churches on Palm Sunday, you'll hear a common theme of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, the people laying down palm branches before him, and from that we get the name Palm Sunday. Okay? Many times people will bring or receive palms in churches on this day. We don't have any of those today. But if we look a little closer, we also see that they laid down branches. Now, it might be a false assumption, but my guess is there's other types of trees there too, because you got to understand what they were really doing. The scripture says that they also laid down their garments. Now, I think that's kind of significant. Maybe it should be Garment Sunday. I'd be okay with that too. But now I want to step back a few years because to kind of see the theme of what was happening here. And I want to talk about John the Baptist and what his job description was. Is in Isaiah 43. It said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You know, I see the same thing happening with the people here on Palm Sunday. As a divine great king, they were preparing the way for Jesus entering into Jerusalem. The thought of strawing the way with their clothes and branches was a sign of humility and service to the new king. We depict this today in rolling out the red carpet, we might say. Just to give you some thoughts of this. Red carpet is to prepare the way for special guests to honor their entrance. Why the color red? There are many thoughts of the origin of the color, but more importantly, the color has stuck as the staple for preparing the way of the entering of important people. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was truly a red carpet event. He would be coming to shed his blood. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He came into his ministry through a desert road prepared by John the Baptist, representing a dry and thirsty land, a land in dire need. He came into his ministry to do the impossible, to turn a dry and thirsty spiritual land into a land of spiritual revival, and he came doing the miraculous, Jesus did. He then came to Jerusalem in his final days here to shed his blood. He came truly on a red, scarlet, crimson-stained carpet. None of these processions that we're talking about are met with quietness. And neither was the cry of people surrounding Jesus when he entered the city on Palm Sunday. It was such a commotion that it caused others to come and see what was going on. The familiar chant of the people will be common in message in pulpits today. "And they went, and they that went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna, what an interesting word that is. Looking in the concordance, it's actually pronounced with an accent on the last syllable. Hosanna. The word is used six times and is only reserved word for the triumphant entry of Jesus at what we call Palm Sunday. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's a blended word formed of two Hebrew words. Think about that. They went to the Hebrew to make this statement. The first one is Yashah, which means to be free, safe, avenging. These are the words that's used in the Old Testament of this word. Deliverer, preserve, rescue, save, get victory. The other blended word is the Hebrew word na, which is usually rendered as beseech, pray, go to, now. The blend of Hebrew pronunciation of these words blended together would be Yashana, or as we say it today, Hosanna. Hosanna. A simple definition of this word, this blended word, might be save us now. Save us, we pray. God, go and deliver us. Go and receive victories. Something of that simple statement. They had in mind that Jesus would come and sit in the seat of David and regain righteous rulership in their day. But that is a day yet to come in the millennial reign of Christ after the rapture and after the tribulation time. And this is just a plug for what Brother Mike's been teaching on in the book of Revelation. But what they were announcing in using this word, Hosanna, was a perfect description of what Jesus was coming in town to do, to save them through his death, burial, and his resurrection. The word was perfect, but spoken as a child who really has no understanding of what they are saying. It's interesting. Jesus confirmed this to the Pharisees, who told Jesus to command that they stop crying out that saying. It said in Matthew 21, verse 15, you'll be there. You can look at this verse. We'll be back in Matthew 21 here again shortly. And when the chief priest, verse 15, and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Today I want to preach a message entitled, The People of Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate what we call Palm Sunday today, the day when Christ entered Jerusalem because his time was come to what all history is pinned to, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He came to Jerusalem to give his life, to make a way that we might have life now and even into eternity. The event was for the benefit of all people. May we see and understand the people that surrounded this event. May we identify these groups of people. May we see the same groups today, and may everyone here, if not already, today or very soon, identify themselves as a believing group of people and see our response and our ability, the combined word responsibility, that we reach the other groups of people that surround the story of Palm Sunday, the same groups that exist today. May your Holy Spirit reveal the message to each heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to read the Gospels of this familiar day when Christ came into Jerusalem to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1. And it says, And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught to you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciple went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now I want you to turn to Mark. We're going to go to Mark, and then we'll go to Luke, and then we'll go to John. And Mark chapter 11, verse 1, it says, And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And when they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus has commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now let's look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. Luke 19, 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now let's go to John chapter 12, verse 12. So we see here different things recorded that all add to this scene. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. It's interesting, just a little side note here, that God's will was being done. The disciples didn't even know it till afterwards. And they went back and they said, we done what the scripture said. You have a people crying Hosanna, and believe me, these people would cry, crucify him later. They were perfecting praise. They were doing the will of God. The Jews who would put him on the cross was doing the will of God. They thought they were doing their will. Interesting. God will have his way. It will work out the way he says. Now, verse 17, continuing. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how he prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." This is an amazing thing. I don't think we really think about what was happening here. I mean, they're thinking this Jesus is going to come and set everything straight. The second coming. He's going to sit on the throne and he's going to set everything up. You can imagine the Pharisees are like, this is not good. They didn't want no part of this. You know, this is the only beginning of part of what happened that day. And usually it stops in here. But I want us to look at the Gospels for how that day finished. Okay? Because we have him coming in, that triumphant entry. Matthew, and we're going to go back to look at each of the Gospels here. Matthew 21:10, it says, "And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" We kind of stop there, but let's read on. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, 'It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.'" And the blind, listen, these are all things, this is all part of Palm Sunday, folks. "And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them." This is a humongous day of what all took place. "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased. And said unto him, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise.' And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there." Now, let's look at Mark. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And the end of the day is brief. Consistent with the Gospel of Mark, he's pretty brief about some things. Mark 11:11 says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about all things, and now the even time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Pretty simple and straightforward, his statement. Luke chapter 19, let's look there. Luke chapter 19. And we kind of read this first part. "When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, 'If thou hast known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes.'" They didn't understand what he was coming for. "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, 'It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.'" Now let's turn to John's gospel. You know, John's gospel, you know, it starts with John the Baptist. He doesn't talk about the birth. He doesn't talk about Jesus' young age. He's going right into the, goes right into the ministry. But here John has a lot more detail, in the book of John of these last days of Christ, as he writes, John the Beloved, John 12, beginning of verse 19. "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how he prevailed nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him.' And then it says here, 'And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and denied him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven. Listen to this. His voice from heaven, saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it. Again, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they cannot believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come as a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, that's a full day. Now, with this full day in mind, we see several groups of people and how they perceive Jesus. These groups still exist today. First of all, there's a group who knows not Jesus. It said in verse 10 of one of the Gospels, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? This represents the people who need Jesus presented to them, where we need to get the gospel out. There was also the group, I'll just call them the ones who cried Hosanna. Now, there were some good believers there, I'm sure, in this group. But as a group, they would lift him up to be king of Israel, to sit on the seat of David, to deliver them from their present circumstance, Roman rule, and no doubt from religious reign, who was no doubt, it's very easy to see, they were corrupt. We know how that is. We see corruption in religion. They would see a Jesus who could save them from their circumstances when the circumstances did not change, neither did they. I remember Pastor Bankhead telling a story when he was in the Marines, being in a helicopter, and that helicopter was out of control and it was going down. He said, those men on there prayed to God like no other person would pray to God. Now, he said he was chuckling. Pastor Bankhead's kind of interesting, if you have never met him. Everything ended up all right. They gained control, had a landing. And any landing that you can walk away from is a good landing. But he said after that, they went right back to their old ways. Not a change a bit. I want you to think about these people crying Hosanna. They would lift him up to be the king of Israel. The book of John said of that group who cried, Hosanna, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The Hosanna group leads us to another group, the religious group. Listen to what Jesus said to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. What a chapter this is of Jesus telling how it is about the religious rulership there. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This is pretty interesting. There's authority in that, even though these people weren't right. He says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But, he's going to say, don't be like them. Do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now paraphrasing in verses 4 through 7, he says they are in verse 4 that they are lazy. In verse 5, they seek to impress others. In verse 6, they lavish in furnishings and eat at the most expensive restaurants in town. Verse 7, they thrive at being somebody with titles of importance. And in verses 8 through 12, they seek to be served, not to serve. Now, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of big-time religious leaders that fit that description right there. I don't know why you need so many things in this world. How many pants can you wear? How many houses do you need? How big does it need to be? Now verses 13 through 33 comes eight woes to the scribes and Pharisees. Seven different times in these verses he refers to them as hypocrites. Among referring them to, as hypocrites, he calls them blind guides, fools, full of extortion and excess, whited sepulchers full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness, serpents, vipers, killers of the prophets. You know, the Hosanna crowd did support Jesus. They did cast their vote. You know, it kind of reminds me of voting today. They put all their hopes on this guy they're going to get in office, going to make everything right. They did cast their vote for him at the first. But this religious leader group offered no support whatsoever for Jesus. They openly hated Christ and sought to destroy him. There was another group within this religious leadership who said, believed. Verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Quite honestly, I can't tell if they were saved or not. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a serious verse. Make you think. But certainly, all of us Christians at some point fail to confess him like we should. Peter fell into this group. He, because of fear of association, but the chief rulers who believed for the sake, who didn't confess God, it was for the sake of not losing the praise of their job, the pride of life they didn't want to let go of. But there was also in the group two disciples doing the Lord's will. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. Think about this. Jesus tells them to go grab this colt and bring it back. He tells them something of the nature, you know, if you get caught, if somebody calls you up on it, tell them this or that. Now, if it was me, I think I would might go and check inside to be sure that I was getting the right colt, checking with the owners first. But it was only if anyone said anything that they should explain anything. They went in obedience and they acted by faith. Their journey ended at a place where two ways met. What an interesting statement the Holy Spirit leads John to write. But what also an appropriate place for that donkey to be tied to. The donkey who would carry Jesus into Jerusalem originates from a place of where two ways met, a place of choice. Jesus came to die that he would have, that we would have another choice, because we had no other choice. He gave us another choice by giving his life. Our only other choice was to be condemned to hell for our sin. But it's a choice that we have to make. There are two ways. Stay where you're at and end in hell, or choose Christ and trust in him and receive life eternal. There was also another group, which I'll just call them a certain of them, also called owners. Who were they? I don't know who they were, but they were on guard. They were waiting. They were looking. They had a purpose and were ready to give whatever they owned for Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, 5 through 6, and certain of them stood there, said unto them, "What do ye?" Loosing the colt. And they said unto them, "Even as Jesus has commanded," and they let them go. In Luke 19, 33 through 34, the same thing, it said, "And they were loosing the colt. The owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him." These are the people, kind of people we need to be. We may know the names, or we probably don't know, well, we don't know the names of the owners of the donkey, but Jesus knew them. I don't know which disciples went and got the colt, but Jesus knows them. This is the group of believers, servants of God, who bear responsibility of their position, responsibility to these other groups that were there to preach the gospel to seekers, the group who are wanting to know, who is this? Who is Jesus? To correct with sound doctrine the group who are deceived, those who have the wrong view of who Jesus is. To pray for and to show good to the group who hate Christ. Perhaps the worst under the guise of religion. And then to exhort those whose gospel is hid. To encourage the weak. To let go of the praise of this world to experience the praise of God in their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianists come into play. Palm Sunday. He was coming to save us. We know it now. I wonder what group we may have been in if we were there. I don't even like to think about that. You know, there were the humble, obedient servants of Jesus Christ who opposed the way of the Pharisees and scribes. The Pharisees and scribes were described as lazy. We are not to be lazy about God's work. Pharisees and scribes sought to impress others. That is not our motive at all. It is to lift Jesus Christ up. The scribes and Pharisees, they lavished in furnishings and eat the most expensive restaurants. That's not a good way for a Christian to spend their money and their time. The Pharisees and scribes thrived at being somebody with titles of importance. Titles mean nothing. We are servants. That's all we are, no matter what position we have. If we have a position, it's God gave it to us, and we're to do it with all our heart, soul, might. And then the Pharisees and scribes, they sought to be served, to have servants to them. We are not to do that. We are to serve. That's it. other people are more important than we ourselves. We come in the likeness of Christ. Where are you at in your life today? How do you stand against this message? What is God speaking to you about? He will speak to us each differently through His Spirit. Or perhaps the message to you is, I need to get saved. I'm not part of that group. Today, you can trust Jesus as your Savior. And if you do, make it known clearly. Come to me and tell me that you made that decision to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't let it be hid. Amen. All right, thank you for your attention. Looking forward to the rest of what God might have for us today. We'll all be meeting again over at Close to Home in the room. What do they call it? The ice cream room? Ice cream parlor. Ice cream parlor, all those fancy names. Okay, so you go through the main doors. You take the first right. Then you take the next left. Go all the way down, and it's on the left. Pretty good. And if you miss the first right, take the second right, and then make a left. Either one will get you there. If not, just follow Joel, because he knows how to get to the ice cream parlor, don't you? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for Jesus. May we have lifted him up today. What he came to save us. Die on a cross. Next week we'll talk about his resurrection, because it didn't stop at the cross. It didn't stop at his death. It didn't stop at his burial, but he was resurrected. We look forward to celebrating that day next week. But today is the only day we have. May we serve you with all our heart, soul, and mind. May we have been caught away today into your Spirit. May this just feel timeless when we go to church. That we just are gone away from everything. We see you looking unto the day when you come to receive us unto yourself. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.